somebody that Jesus died upon Calvary's tree. I've got to tell somebody.
We're so glad that you could join us today for this life-changing Bible study called Getting to Know Jesus. The King is coming! The King is coming! Get ready! Clean up the streets! Clean up the front of your house! Put on your best clothes and prepare a feast! The King is coming! Have you ever had to clean, paint, or fix up or prepare for the arrival of someone who is very important? A king or a president? John the Baptist is going to start his ministry by telling the people that the King is coming. What do you and I need to know, and what do we need to do to get ready? Please turn to lesson 11 in book 3. Our scripture text is from Matthew chapter 3, Mark 2, and Luke chapter 3. And let's see how John the Baptist prepares the way for Jesus to come and save us from our sins. At the end of this broadcast, we'll tell you how you can receive the entire Getting to Know Jesus Bible Study series for your study and benefit. And now let's go off on another exciting adventure to see how we can fulfill God's purpose for our life in getting to know Jesus. When was the last time you were involved in a surprise party? Did someone post themselves as a lookout to advise you of the arrival of the individual that was to be surprised? Or were you the one that was going to be surprised and someone was looking out for you? Did you ever serve in the military? You know, did you do guard duty or were you on an advance man on a patrol? Kind of like you're the one that's got to alert the others if there's any trouble. How about preparing for the arrival of a very special person? A political dignitary or a well-known celebrity? Did you ever get involved in making the preparations for their arrival? Did you tell others so that they would be ready when this person came? In history, when a king was coming, someone went ahead of the king to tell the others to get ready. The king is coming! The king is coming! They would shout as they ran down the way. And the people in the village would know that they need to get their clothes in and clean up their yards and make things neat around there. You know, of course, they had dirt for sidewalks, so a little hard to sweep that, but they could get any debris or rubbish out of sight behind the house where the king wouldn't see it. Then if the women were doing their laundry, they'd pick it up and they'd take it inside quickly so it wouldn't be out there to look yucky in the neighborhood and things like that. And, of course, if there was any painting that needed to be done or anything like that, they would spruce things up because the town wanted to look good for the king when he came. Today, when a president or a governor or some political dignitary is coming, certain preparations have to be made to assure their safety and to designate where they will be and at what time they will be there and who will be allowed to see them or to be nearby and to guard so that nobody does anything to hurt them. Jesus gets the same, similar kind of treatment for about 6 months before he starts his ministry. And that's what we're going to look at today. Jesus is a real person in an established point of time and history. Our Bible text starts out to confirm that. Jesus is now an adult, but before he begins his ministry, the world has to be told that he is coming. He would be about 28, probably 29 years old now. His cousin, John the Baptist, has just turned 30. And this preparation that needs to occur is carried out by John the Baptist. Now, Luke's gospel establishes this event in world history. Tiberius Caesar, whom we can confirm through many, many sources, who was worse of a leader than Augustus Caesar, is in power. Pilate, a prefect, not a governor, is in power in Judea. And Herod Philip, two of the sons of Herod the Great, Licinius, make the three tetrarchs, which means a ruler of a fourth. Now, Pilate was not called a tetrarch. He was not allowed that title. His ability to lead or whatever wasn't impressive enough to get him that title. So he was only allowed to be called a prefect, not a governor like the others. Which we'll see if you study a little bit of history, you'll see that shortly after Jesus was crucified, Pilate got run out of town and exiled and was never heard from again. Now, Annas is the legal high priest, but Caiaphas, because Rome was in power, was able to buy the right to be recognized as the appointed high priest. So at this one time in Jewish history, there were two high priests, one by succession, the other one by government appointment. And Annas and Caiaphas are related to each other, which makes it even more interesting. Rather than respect my relative here who is the legal high priest, I want the power, I want the prestige, I've got some bucks, I'm going to bribe the governor and or the prefect or Rome or whoever they had to go and bribe, and I will be appointed high priest. So as far as the government was concerned, they recognized Caiaphas. But as far as the Jews were concerned, they would be led to want to recognize Annas. I don't know of any big discussion of controversy between the two recorded in Scripture, but I would imagine there was probably some animosity going on there. Well, we want to recognize how to fulfill God's purpose for your life. And so the first step is to recognize the life-changing power of the gospel. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, Mark 1, 4, and Luke 3, verses 1 through 3, John the Baptist is out telling people the king is coming. Now, he's a rather unusual herald. He's not the typical person that you would expect to be going out and announcing the king is coming. At age 30, when it was the time when a priest would begin his work, and John, when he turns 30, doesn't go to Jerusalem like most priests would be likely to do so. He doesn't stay where he grew up, which we believe to be the community around Hebron. No, he goes over to the Jordan River, not too far from the road that would go from the Jordan, probably the Jericho Road. That would put him just outside of Jericho on the Jordan River. There'd be a lot of people passing by, and as he's preaching the gospel about repent, the kingdom is coming, the king is coming, the king is coming, then a lot of people would hear him. Some would stop to listen. Those who stopped to listen would get more convicted. They'd say, you know what, the king has come in and I'm a sinner and I need to be repent of my ways and change my life. Now, what's really interesting in all of this is that most people are expecting the Messiah to deliver them from Rome, not from their sins. They've got the Old Testament situation of they've got the rules and the regulations, the sacrifices and all of that sort of thing. And they're just going on, just kind of plugging their life away and not really realizing that they really do need to be forgiven of their sins far more than they need to be freed from that Roman government. Even in the world today where Christians are being oppressed and where Christianity is being limited and curtailed, most of the people, as long as they're just taking care of their lives and they're not out committing murder or other vile acts, most of the people are fairly well left alone. Now, there are some places in some countries where Christians are hunted down and they are still thrown in jail or told to stop or in some places even killed. There are places where Christians are still being crucified even today. So it's not a free walk or life just goes on and don't worry about it. But the expectation of Christians back in Jesus' day was, or of the Jews, I mean, was more for a physical deliverance than it was for a spiritual deliverance. But John is telling them to repent. You guys need to change your ways or else. And so they realize, well, yeah, I've been taking God a little for granted, and if the Messiah is coming, I want to be ready for the Messiah. If he says I need to repent and change my ways, well, then I'm going to repent and I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to be baptized by John the Baptist in the river for as a symbol that I've repented and I've changed my life. And I dare say a lot of Jews did stop some of their sinful behavior, those who listened to John and accepted his message. And in that respect, they were looking for and realizing that their problem wasn't Rome. They were starting to realize that their problem was sin. However, they still weren't looking for a Messiah as a savior from their sins as much as they were as a deliverer from the Roman government. We'll see that as we continue getting to know Jesus. Well, John is a rather unusual looking fellow. He is wearing camel's hair. Now, this is not camel skin. For a long time, I had the impression in my mind that John was wearing camel skins. And, of course, that would be a little heavy and bulky. I went to a circus years ago when they were setting up the circus and watched them putting up the tents and doing the stuff that circus performers have to do before they can get the audience there to perform. And they had some camels there that were shedding. And they allowed us to come up and just grab clumps of hair off the camels. And it was interesting to grab that hair. And, of course, it was thick and woolly. And I would say that you could card that hair. In fact, did I send some to my dad? I think I did. And he was into rug weaving and things like that. And he would have carded it into a yarn. And out of that yarn, if he had enough, I don't remember for sure now. Been a while ago. He would have carded that yarn and made something out of it. Well, that would be what John was wearing, something that was made out of the yarn of camel's hair. Now, noticing that I've had my hand on camel's hair and haven't seen it as a yarn per se, that I can recall, or a garment made of it, but I think it would be rather hot and rather scratchy. You notice some wool garments are a little scratchy next to your bare skin. So some people like to have something else next to them and the wool garment on the outside. Well, camel's hair would be the same thing. But unusual attire. He also has a leather belt, and he has a diet of locusts and wild honey. Now, the reason that is so significant is because that was a kind of a typical sign of a person who was a prophet. Isaiah, Elijah, Zechariah, Ezekiel, you know, most of the Old Testament prophets attired themselves in similar manner. The behavior reflects that John the Baptist is a prophet in the pattern of the Old Testament. Well, to fulfill God's purpose for your life, you have to embrace the call of God. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, Mark 1, verses 2 and 3, and Luke verses 3 through 6. John preaches to the people as they're passing by. God entrusts his kingdom to be proclaimed by the messages of men. When you and I are telling others that Jesus has come, we are preparing the way. We're embracing the call of God. Now, the people that John is preaching to, they're traveling through, and they'll get John's message, and they will go and tell others. The people that they tell will travel for miles and days just to hear John preach. It's so important to the Jewish people to have a prophet and to have not had one for some 300 years. That means several generations of Jews lived and died without knowing these prophets and how they worked. And here is a man that is coming up in the form of a prophet, and some of the people recognize it. They start telling others. Others get excited. They want to hear him preach. They'll travel for days just to listen to John for a few hours. Everyone is interested in hearing from God's spokesman. He's the first prophet they've had since Malachi. Well, in order to fulfill God's purpose for your life, you must be genuine in your life and your message. Matthew chapter 3, verse 4, and Mark chapter 1, verse 6. John's message is simple: to repent and be immersed in water as a symbol of the forgiveness of your sins, a symbol of your repentance of your sins. Repent means to turn around. If you change your mind, you will change your behavior. Oh, what a powerful rehab program in our prisons when we can change the prisoner's mind, because they then will change their behavior. The problems that we have in the world today, if we can change people's minds, we can change their behavior. And of course, our goal as Christians is to change their minds to become more like Jesus. The people are admitting that they have not been keeping the Mosaic law, and they're accepting John's message that they need to repent. Now, to fulfill God's purpose in your life, you must meet people where they are spiritually. Matthew chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and Mark verse 1, 5, not everybody's on the same spiritual plane. Now, immersion is somewhat of an initiation rite. It's just an outward sign signifying that that person has acknowledged that they are a sinner and they want to change their lives and stop sinning. This is what John the Baptist immersion symbolized. A little later on, when Jesus institutes baptism as a part of the accepting Christ and an ordinance for the church, it will symbolize that I have repented of my sins and I'm sorry for my sin and I need Jesus' forgiveness and I accept his forgiveness and grace. We can expand on that. That's kind of a little simplified explanation at this point. We don't have the time to really go into it more deeply. Immersion is used as an initiation rite for a Jewish proselytes, people that are Gentiles that decide to become Jews. They would do a little study of the Torah and the law and all that sort of thing, and then they would immerse them, and now you are Jewish by immersion and by choice rather than by birth. Jesus will later ordain this rite, and the apostles will perform it on all who become believers in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Also, in fulfilling God's purpose for your life, you must lovingly communicate the consequences of not following God's way. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, Mark 1, verse 4, and Luke 3, verse 31. You see, sin is the problem, and Jesus is the solution. And repentance is our first step towards coming to Jesus. Actually, you could say that believing that Jesus is the Savior of our sins is the first step. The second step is to realize that, yes, I am a sinner, and I need a Savior, and I want to change my life. And, of course, then the next solution is to confess Christ as your Lord and be obedient to his will and live that Christian life. The King is coming. Get ready. This is no ordinary king. It will take months to get the people informed. This fulfills the prophecies that Malachi give and Isaiah give. Now, Mark makes reference to Malachi's prophecies, and Luke makes reference to Isaiah's prophecy. You have to realize that the Jewish people have very little memory, if any, of the events that happened 30 years ago. I mean, how many of you remember what happened to other people that you were maybe nearby or possibly heard about 30 years ago? How many of the people in Nazareth realized that Jesus, the Messiah, was born in Bethlehem and know about the shepherds and the wise men in that story? And how many of them remember it? How many of them have died and how many of them have not? Maybe they've heard it from grandpa and grandma, but it didn't happen to them, so it's not that relevant. How many people in Bethlehem remember this couple that came in that one cold, well, we assume it was a cold, that one night she had a baby, and then a few days or weeks later, they disappeared. They weren't there long enough for anybody to get to really know them very well. And so it is that a lot of the people that John is preaching to aren't going to remember those events. And we'll see later on, they'll question, well, who's this Jesus guy? I mean, isn't his mother Mary and his father the carpenter, and aren't his brothers and sisters here with us and all this sort of thing? And they're not going to want to recognize him as a Messiah. It takes a little bit of persuading to do that. Well, John communicates to the people that sin has a consequence, and they better repent, they better turn their lives around, they better get ready because the King is coming. The King is coming. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. Now, when the people hear about John and his preaching, they travel for days to the place where he is so they can hear him preach. It takes a full day's walk just to go to the Jordan River from Jerusalem, and that is downhill. Think how long it's going to take them to turn around and go back up that hill when they get done. And if John is further north, which he will be later on in his ministry, he will be located up near a place called Anon, which is just a few miles south of the southern edge of the Sea of Galilee. That would take at least another day's walk up along the Jordan River to get to that place to hear John preach. So it could take some people too, and if they didn't live in Jerusalem, but they lived maybe closer to the Mediterranean coast, it could take 3, 4, maybe even 5 days to travel by foot all the way over to hear this man tell us that we're sinners and we better repent of our sins because the Messiah is coming and we want to be ready. Of course, many people do respond to John's message, and they're immersed in the Jordan River. And if you go with us on our tour to the Holy Lands, we'll go by that place in the Jordan River, and if you've never been baptized there before, you can be baptized in the Jordan River, just like the early Christians, or like the followers of John, and even Jesus' apostles were baptizing people into as a sign of their repentance when Jesus first started preaching. And of course, after the church was started, well, they baptized them wherever they were. It wasn't necessarily at the Jordan River, but a lot of people consider it kind of a special thing. If you're touring the Holy Lands, to be baptized in the Jordan River. Now, there's some people that have been there many times, and some of them have probably been baptized every time they've been there. Some once was enough. But you can decide that for yourself. But I think it would be kind of a special event, especially in a special place like that. Well, Christians know that Jesus has come. Christians know that Jesus is coming again. But he's not going to give us any more warning than we have been receiving for the last 2,000 years. Are you ready for the King to come and take you to be with him forever? You know he's coming. They've been looking for him for the last 2,000 years, and he could come any day. We're excited about getting to know Jesus because this is one of the ways that we can be ready for him. God bless you and have a great week. Preparing for people for the coming of the King is a very important and special task. Are you involved in any way in preparing for the second coming of Jesus? I not only want to be ready for Jesus to come, but I want to encourage as many others as possible to be ready also. The King is coming again to take us to be forever with him. This Getting to Know Jesus lesson is a part of a complete weekly Bible study lesson series on the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. We go through every event in his life and see what the Gospels have to say about it, and then how it applies to our lives today. We've written these lessons into study booklets complete with the Bible text, with the words of Jesus in red, commentary, discussion and homework questions, maps, and a color photograph pertaining to that lesson. To receive these study books, get a pencil and paper, and we'll give you the phone number and address in just a moment. Now you can begin a life-changing Bible study series that will help you experience a more dynamic and personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ in order that you may live your life more like him. We want to thank you for joining us for the Getting to Know Jesus Bible Study radio program. This program is supported by the prayers and gifts of listeners like you. To make a donation using your credit card or your PayPal account, you can go to our website at gettingtoknowjesus.org and look for the PayPal donate button. Or you can call us on Monday through Friday during California business hours at 1-877-44-JESUS. That is 1-877-445-3787. If you call us on Sunday, you'll find us in church worshiping Jesus, but leave your phone number and we will call you back as soon as we can on Monday. In the Los Angeles, California area, you can dial 1-310-542-1711. Thank you for your letters of support and encouragement. Please pray for us and send your gift to New Hope Gospel Ministries at P.O. Box 14505, Torrance, California, 90503. Again, you can make a donation at www.gettingtoknowjesus.org and clicking on the PayPal donate button. If you visit our website, you can learn more about Getting to Know Jesus Bible Study and other tools that we have to help you in your relationship and your walk with him. There's also a message board where you can share your views about how Jesus would handle current news events or respond to the comments of others. Visit us at www.gettingtoknowjesus.org. Please remember that this recording is copyrighted, and that means that you can make as many copies as you like and give them to your friends. Just don't sell them to anyone else. Thank you for listening, and come back next week as we continue on our journey, Getting to Know Jesus. What Jesus did and